In this episode, you will discover how to permanently ingrain your podcast in the mind of your listeners. Welcome to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing, a podcast helping coaches, experts, business owners, or independent podcasters who want to do this full time gain clarity around why your podcast isn't growing as fast as you'd like and learn the steps you need to fast track slow and steady growth to gain thousands of new, highly engaged listeners. Hello and welcome back to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing. My name is Anthony Wineri.
I'm Tyga O'Shea.
And in today's episode, you will discover why the majority of podcasts struggle to grow without a USP, how to reposition your podcast from good to great, and permanently ingrain your podcast in the minds of your listeners. And finally, righty, and we're going to give you our proven three-part framework that guarantees you stand out from your competition and gain traction fast.
Exciting. And we could talk about how exciting this is and all the benefits probably for the whole episode. But we've already done that because this is actually part two of our six-part series. So if that's new information to you or if that's confusing, all you need to do is go back and listen to the last episode, which is called our complete four-step growth and retention system, where we gave you an overview of what all the steps are and explained that over the next coming weeks and coming episodes, we're going to be breaking down each thing one by one. And today, in part two, last the overview was part one, we start with the unique selling point. It all starts with a USP, right? Because if we can't stand out, be unique, actually be the favorite show of any individual, then we don't really have much chance at growth, unless we're just super niche and that is the USP, right? Mm. But for most people in popular spaces, such as business, mindset, relationships,
personal development,
all this kind of stuff, a USP is absolutely essential.
It is needed, 100%. And when it comes to the USP, at the end of the day, there's 87 million podcast episodes that are published. And of course, every single day, that number's going up and up, right?
More than that now, right?
So I feel like the days where podcasters lack the unique selling point, something that makes their show stand out, you're unaware that just starting a solo show or an interview-based podcast about something, again, unique and different about your podcast and have listeners flood in, those days are unfortunately long gone. It's way too competitive. So you have to, again, stand out from the market. Now, what are some of the benefits of a USP? Why the hell should you even pay attention to this episode? So I'm just going to break it down. Number one, having a USP makes your show far more attractive to the sponsors you're trying to pitch. It allows you, having a USP doesn't only allow you to stand out in terms of the podcast market listenership, I don't know if that's an actual terminology, but it also means that when you're pitching to sponsors, if you're trying to get some sponsors, because your show's unique, it stands out and your pitch stands out. Number two, Tig.
Well, you can build an audience that actually feel proud sharing your show with friends. This is huge. Again, this is like that X factor with your podcast, right? Because everyone can make a good podcast, but few people can make a great podcast. And I think part of what defines that is it's a great podcast if it's the favorite podcast of any individual, right?
Absolutely.
You need at least a few. If you're just another podcast to all of your listeners, you're never really going to get that kind of compounding shareability where people are sharing it with word of mouth, right? But if you're someone's favorite, if there's a group of your listeners where they are the diehard fans and your show is their favorite, they're going to go and tell their friends about it. They're going to be proud of sharing. And I think that is really what makes it. That's kind of like the invisible hand, right?
That Absolutely.
We don't really talk about word of mouth too much. It's just something that, you know, it's out of your control, but it's in your control by making your show unique.
100%. It needs to be remarkable.
Yeah, that's right.
So good, people have to tell their friends about it. And again, no one tells a friend about just a normal, everyday podcast. It's about something different and unique.
Right, and we're actually going to give you an equation, a formula to break this down and show you how you can do it in this episode, which hopefully is quite exciting to you to hear that.
And then finally, it allows you to clearly communicate the value of your show to new listeners. Again, we're trying to optimize your podcast to new listeners because they're the people, great, you know, we love our current listeners. We give them value. That's all good. But again, to grow our podcast, we need to convince new listeners to not only check out our podcast, but to listen, to engage, and then to keep coming back for more and eventually to buy from you if you're trying to monetize. Mm. That's 10 times harder when you don't have something unique and different about your show. You get put to the side and categorized as every other podcast out there about business, health, fitness, personal development. You get the gist. Now, Tig, to give this a bit more, not context is the wrong word, but I guess to an easier way to help people understand what a unique selling point is. So I think people really do struggle with this because they have a lot of beliefs of what they think it is. You listen right now, you might think you have a USP.
We're going to burst some bubbles.
We are going to burst some bubbles. Look, so some egos might be bruised. Ours was bruised at a certain point. So if your ego gets bruised, it's all part of the game. So right. I guess to make things easier to understand what a USP is, we're actually going to go backwards and break down what a USP is not.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Let's shoot back and forth. So what isn't a USP? Well, we are straight talking and we say how it is.
I take X topic and make it easy to understand.
I share stories and tools to create a better life.
My podcast is interesting and engaging and shares unique stories.
We share actionable advice in plain language.
You'll hear stories from people who may have had similar troubles to yourself.
I'm a great interviewer and ask questions that not everyone is asking.
I'm keeping it raw and real. This is a safe place for people to listen to share similar struggles and how they overcome it.
I interview interesting people and you can hear conversations you wouldn't find on the street.
Again, you can see where we're going with this, right? All those things are great, but I feel like they're just like a necessity for a podcast.
They're a prerequisite. That's not anything unique. Most good podcasts are doing that in some way, shape, or form.
And that's not even a roast. That's just us being genuine. And again, for us, if you listen to us right now, we need to have extremely high standards of what we believe a unique show actually is. So I guess what are some examples of past clients or just like podcasts that we've come across that actually is a unique show, is a USP? And then we're going to give you, again, the formula, the framework that you can start using today to make sure your position is something truly unique in the market that stands out and gains traction faster. So I guess, what are some examples of that we can give?
We've said what a USP isn't. Now let's say what a USP is. So if a USP is not a history podcast, for example, that breaks down concepts and makes them easy to understand and shares really interesting information, then a USP is a history podcast that exposes the shady past of your favorite and popular historical figures in 10-minute bite-sized comedic takes twice a week.
Boom. That is a USP.
Right. Have you heard a show like that before? Probably not, because most history podcasts are not doing that, so it makes it unique.
And guess what? That was a past client of ours, and his podcast was called
Dickheads of History.
Booyah. Even the name is a bit catchy, right? Yeah, stands out as it is. So his podcast grew massively after we applied the social media strategy, after we applied the SEO stuff, but it only worked so well because he was able to convert more new listeners to check out his podcast and engage because he had a USP in place. If he didn't have that, he would have struggled to grow. So this is really like a power-up. You know, it's like your power-up to really gain that traction.
It's just that X factor, isn't it? It's a catalyst for all the other things that we know about, like social media and stuff, to work. And for just the last bit of context, this guy, it was about 500 downloads to like 7,000 in a couple of months, right?
That's it.
So yeah, great growth. All right, next, give us another example. Well, let's stick with a history niche. So if a USP is not an interview-style podcast in interviewing people about history or asking interesting questions about the figures that we know, then a USP is an interview-style podcast with the concept of phone calling someone from the dead through time, right? So this was also a client at Get More Listeners. He had a podcast called Calling History. And he actually liaised with reenactors such as Abraham Lincoln impersonators and things like that. And he would call them up and it would have like the telephone effect and everything. And they would have a phone call and it was like he was talking to someone from the dead and the person wouldn't know what the phone is at first. And it was this great concept.
He created an experience with his podcast.
Right, yeah. It was a real show, wasn't it? And that got people consistently, when we tell people about that, they say, wow, that sounds interesting. I'm not even into history. Yeah, me too. Right, which is the point. Exactly, it's that X factor once again.
And again, if you think about this, so we've spoke about like history, amazing, great. A lot of our listeners might have a business podcast or they might be in that kind of realm. So here's another example of two podcasts, same targeting, let's say the same person, let's say they're twins, they're targeting the same people who are, let's say, women in business, talking about sales, and they have a podcast for the same amount of time, same experience, same energy. Everything about them is the exact same. The only difference is their positioning, their USP. Let's say one of the podcasts was a normal interview-based show where they interviewed women in business talking about sales. Awesome, cool, but pretty boring, you know, yada, yada, yada. Then the second one is a daily podcast where the listeners hands in to the host sales objection that they're facing. and the host, live on the calls, plays the voice notes that they get sent and then helps them handle that objection live on the episode.
Mm.
And each episode is packaged in that way. Now, you tell me, Tog, which one of those are remarkable? Which one of those are going to grow much faster? Which one of those stand out and make you want to tune in and listen?
Well, for sure, the second, right? It's way more intriguing. It's way more engaging. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, look, mate, we've gassed the USP up probably more than a hot balloon. So let's really go into the actual framework itself. So the framework that we use to define whether or not your show is unique or how unique your show is, because it's a spectrum. It's really your specific podcast targeting plus your weekly output times the unique concept of your show.
Equals
USP. Again, as a spectrum.
This is an equation. This is an equation that we just said. Even potentially write this down or just view this as an equation in your head. So again, the specific targeting of your podcast plus the weekly output of your show multiplied by the unique concept, so like the X factor, equals your unique selling point and how strong that is. So now let's break down each part of that equation so you feel super clear about how it all works and how you can put your own podcast into this framework. So let's start with specific targeting. Part one, who is your show for and how unique is this, right? Like Anthony said, it is a spectrum. So an example could be your specific targeting could be everyone.
Broad.
Hopefully not. Another example would be more niche. So maybe your specific targeting is single mums, right? That is definitely more specific. We're on the right lines. But like Anthony said, it's a spectrum. We can still get a lot more specific. A super niche example of targeting would be single online mompreneurs in America struggling with time management. And hopefully you see where we're going with this, right? It is a spectrum. So think about your audience right now. Where do they fall along that spectrum? If it's just business owners, that is still quite broad. If it's female business owners, great. Dig a bit deeper, right? There's a lot of shows out there for female business owners.
What type of business model? How much money are they generating? What's their income level?
What's their main problem?
Exactly. What's the main struggle they're going through? So again, it's a spectrum. Mm-hmm. So you ask yourself, okay, how can I push myself further towards being super niche? The more specific you are, the better it is. Now, here's why. Let's say you're now about to go and promote your podcast on social media. Promoting, if they don't like it. Let's just say promoting on social media. Or let's say you get on other people's podcasts. And you're not super specific about who the show is for. And someone hears you pitch your podcast and it's, oh, for everyone. It's like, yeah, cool, sure thing, bro. But if it's like, no, my podcast is for single online mompreneurs who are struggling with time management in America, right? Someone's going to hear that and be like, oh my God, that's me. Then they check out your podcast and the entire thing's made for them. So the more specific you are, the better it is when it comes to your position in your USP. Ty, now we go to the weekly output.
So we have your weekly output, and this is just simply how many times you upload, right? Everyone has different upload schedules, and again, it's a spectrum, right? So generally speaking, the more we upload, the more unique we become because of the less podcasts doing that there are. So there are tons of podcasts uploading monthly, right? I know you might think there's most podcasts are uploading weekly, and maybe they are, but considering the amount of podcasts that are inactive and not serious, there are a lot more podcasts than you think that are just uploading sporadically or monthly.
Correct,
right?
Yeah.
And then there are podcasts that upload every 2 weeks, then every week, right? Maybe that's the median or the most common.
Yeah, probably the kind of median.
Yeah, well, it's definitely the average amongst regular podcasters that are somewhat serious. And then we even have twice a week, right? Three times a week or daily, right? So it's a spectrum again. And we are not saying you should upload daily long term because it is not sustainable to do. It's definitely a great experiment. That's a whole nother conversation for another time. If you're curious, you can just find our show from December 2023 and actually see that we did that exact thing, right? Mm-hmm. We tested it out. And again, that's not the point. The point is you differentiate yourself the more you upload because you objectively are then distancing yourself from the rest of the competition.
Absolutely. Right? And then again, remember the equation. We're going to keep going back to this equation because I want to drill it in, all right? Specific podcast targeting plus weekly output times unique concept equals USP. It's a spectrum. So when we combine a super niche show, single online mompreneurs who are struggling with time management in America. And we have a daily show. Objectively speaking, there's probably no podcast out there like that. Now, again, I'm not saying you should do a daily show. And again, I'm just saying, objectively speaking, if that did exist, your show would stand out and would be different. Fact.
Yeah.
There's no if, yeah, buts, or maybe, or like, you can't debate that. It's just the truth.
Right. Yeah. And on the flip side, if you just had a weekly show that was for women in business, it wouldn't be objectively unique, right?
Correct.
Because there are tons of them. We've seen it.
There we go.
So again, you can see how by adding each part of the equation, they compound on each other as well.
Dude, check us out doing maths, bro. This is nice, man.
God, look how far we come. Look at us. So the last part of the equation now, and this is the bit where it gets a bit fun and slightly less objective, to be completely fair. And it's the unique concept of the show, right? So we've got our two variables. We've got our unique targets, our specific targeting, and our weekly output. Now we multiply that by the unique concept. The unique concept is like a multiplier. It amplifies however unique things are at a baseline, right? So let's go through some examples.
Yeah, so we'll stick with the same niche, right? So again, let's say you had a podcast that was, you know, for women, online women entrepreneurs who are struggling with time management. The unique concept of the show is, how are you delivering that content, or how are you packaging that content and delivering it in a unique way?
Mm-hmm.
So you can have, it could be your style, it could be format, it could be like, you know, you have people send you voice notes of their problems and then you help them solve that live on the call and you actually play the voice notes on the podcast. It's about creating more of an experience to listen to the show. When it comes to this example here, you could have a podcast that just interviews women who've gone through the same struggle.
Right. And then that would basically be a multiplier of one, if you like. If you're putting the first two parts together, weekly, women in business. Oh, no, sorry. Even if it's really specific. So like the online mompreneurs struggling with time management, that uploads daily. Again, that part is really unique. But then when you multiply it by the kind of X factor, which is just interview show, it's just multiplied by one. It doesn't amplify at all.
No,
it doesn't become any more unique by just being an interview show.
Correct.
However, if we make it more unique if the multiplier is, instead of an interview show, it's reviewing sales calls objections live in voice note form, then I would say that's a multiplier of 10 or something, right? It then becomes 10 times more unique than it would have been if it was for that audience, daily show, but just an interview-based show.
Correct.
Hopefully this is easy to understand as we're breaking this down.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, 100%.
I hope this is coming across.
Yeah. So again, let's say with a single mom one, you have the one if it's a normal interview. Let's say number two, if you just have like, I guess we were just two extremes. One, just normal interview. And then other one, again, the honest truth is, a lot of times I'm going to just give examples that exaggerate versions of this because I want to demonstrate why this equation works so well.
Sure. Again, this is exaggerated and we're not saying you should do daily shows.
We're just
trying to... Someone really gets confused. I just want to really hammer that home.
We keep saying this because we had a client recently.
We've had multiple clients.
Who thought we were trying to insinuate that. And they were like, do you know what I've got to say though? They didn't fight it. They were like, okay, if it's going to help us grow, I'll go for it, which I love. But
I love that too.
Let's say I had a podcast where it was for women, online entrepreneurs, strong with time management. There are tons and tons of productivity hacks and time management techniques. What if you ran an experiment every single week or every 2 weeks, every month, let's say every week, where you try a new one and then you give your listeners the feedback and it's super detailed, you know, where every day you leave a voice note of your thoughts so far. And at the end, you tell them exactly whether they should experiment with it or if they should not, or you encourage them to experiment with you. At the start of each new week, there's a new experiment you run. That would be a truly unique show.
Yeah.
Is it a bit tricky? Is it a bit hard? Absolutely. Hell yeah. But will it help you stand out and help you gain traction faster? Hell yeah, it will.
Did you come up with that idea on the spot?
I did come up with that idea.
I have to say, for anyone listening right now, Anthony is a USP machine. When we have either our group coaching calls or sometimes one-on-one with clients, and part of what we do right at the start, something we normally brainstorm, is the USP. Again, it's really important and we do it at the start, hence this being part two in the series. And Anthony, he's always comes up with great ideas on the fly, so I'd have to shout you out for that one. I also think, though, not everyone will have an Anthony in their corner. What are some practical ways we can generate ideas? Because it can seem like a bit of a daunting concept, right?
Absolutely.
There's no guide necessarily. The first two parts of the equation are objective.
Pretty straightforward, yeah.
This one is subjective. So what are some ways that we help people get ideas and really... Yeah, flesh this out.
Yeah, I think there's only really one way. So if you're trying to differentiate your podcast and make it different, right? one really simple way to generate ideas of how do I package my show to be different and unique and stand out to attract listeners I want to reach is by going to ChatGPT, saying to them, hey, I've got a daily show or I've got a weekly show targeting online women entrepreneurs who struggle with time management. Can you create different angles and different USPs for this show and how I deliver and package the content to be different and make it stand out? Give me 10 ideas.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised ChatGPT actually comes up with. If you ask it to give it 10, some of them will be things that are not
some of
unique.
Them will be so dead. They will yeah, not be good.
It'll fire a couple of planks for sure. But there's some golden ones in there as well.
Use ChatGPT to generate new ideas about the package and deliver your podcast content in a truly unique way. Just use ChatGPT using that prompt that we just mentioned.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the second framework that you can use is, if you have a smaller show, you can't really get your community involved as much. You can't really get your listener to send you voice notes because there might not be as much volume. So for you, it's going to be really thinking about what things do I have in my control that makes things easy for me that I can do? What tests can I run, right? How can I creatively deliver this in a different way? But if you have a bigger show, we encourage you to really think about how do we get our community involved on a daily basis? So whether that's asking questions, whether that's sending in voice notes, whether that's sending in dilemmas of what they're going through, or whether that's, you know, you having people role play, pretending to be like Abraham Lincoln or someone from dead from the past, getting your community involved really creates, again, that sense of loyalty and makes it a lot more engaging for you and for your audience. But of course, if you haven't got a bigger audience, you can't really do that.
Great. Hopefully, listening right now is not too much at once. So you see the equation. We'll put it below in the show notes just so you can actually see it visually as well. And we've broken down each part, how it all fits together, some ideas to start you off from how you can really bring this to life. Hopefully, it doesn't feel too daunting. And also, hopefully, by now, you really understand how of paramount importance this is, especially if you're in a broad niche. Again, if you're a really specific show, the last caveat I'll give is we worked with a client who had a podcast about the card game Bridge recently. Right? And for him, we didn't really spend too much time thinking about how can we make this different. It was already the only show of its kind, right? Just by the targeting. So there's that caveat as well. If you are super niche, great job. If you're in a broad audience, if you're in a broad niche, then this is crucial.
So the course action would be go down below, download the PDF that walks you through number one, what a USP is and isn't, and then number two, the actual diagram of the spectrum of USPs.